Welcome to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer.
And I'm Rebecca Green. For many years, Labor Day weekend was viewed as the unofficial start of the campaign season for local elections. We'll be diving deeper into election coverage over the next few monthly roundups, beginning today with analysis from Andy Downs of the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics and WBOI's own Zach Bernard. Zach began our conversation with a look at our local mayor's race.
We are 8 weeks out from Fort Wayne's municipal elections and elections in Northeast Indiana in general. Let's start at the Fort Wayne level, particularly the mayor's race. We know that Mayor Tom Henry is running for his fourth term as Fort Wayne's mayor, and he is opposed by Republican Tim Smith. We have kind of started to see the election heat up a little bit, but what can we start to expect from both candidates as we move into the final 2 months before the elections? What could we start to see with both candidates as far as their rollouts of platforms and things like that?
Actually, I want to start with a different date to begin with, and that's October 8th, because that's when early voting begins. So when we think about Election Day, we always have this thought of the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. But the reality is, because of early voting and the ease with which people can do that, Election Day now actually starts on October 8th. And that has changed to some degree how campaigns run. Historically, if we go back, 30, 40 years, what we would find is that Labor Day was quite often the kickoff of real strong active campaigning. By that, I mean going out into neighborhoods, knocking on doors, doing a lot of canvassing, rallying support for yourself, making sure that people who are going to be out of town, college students, et cetera, have their absentee ballots. But because of the change, because now people can begin to vote October 8th, and quite frankly, because of other changes in the way people campaign, that idea of canvassing and making voter contact, especially on a one-to-one basis, has stretched well into the summer now. By this point, if the campaigns have not been out contacting voters and knocking on doors, they actually are making a pretty big mistake, especially if you're talking about like a city council race where door knocking can be the primary way you're going to contact voters. But from here on in, we certainly can expect to see many more television commercials. We can expect to see a lot more social media, usage of social media, so those be ads on YouTube, and then just general social media activity. And then finally, we will start to find out what the candidates believe are really the top issues. Not that they weren't talking about important issues up to this point, but since a lot of voters weren't paying attention in June and July and even into August, there's not much point in talking about the most important issues. Those get saved until later in the campaign process, although there's one exception, and that is if you want to make sure you own an issue, you've got to get there first.
And so you mentioned the issues. Are there any issues that you see standing out to Fort Wayne residents in particular that both of these candidates could speak to effectively?
I think if you were to look back over time, there are basically three issues that always move to the top, and they are in no particular order: safety, infrastructure, and then jobs or economic development. Some version of those three usually make up the top three. The question is basically, how will candidates talk about them? Obviously, when crime is on the rise, that becomes more important, or more specifically, a violent crime is on the rise, that moves up the list. During bad economic times, that takes the prime position. And then infrastructure is just sort of a constant. There was a theory years ago that you didn't pay for anything people couldn't see. If you were a government, don't pay for things people can't see. So that meant don't worry about water pipes and sewer mains and those sorts of things. And unfortunately, cities across the country paid a price for that with crumbling infrastructure. Now, I think people understand better this is stuff that needs to be dealt with. And so candidates find themselves talking about these things, and elected officials are not as worried about making sure all the construction is done by a particular time of year. Although having said that, I think it's safe to say there is a pretty good-sized portion of the population that's kind of tired of construction, but that happens every year this time of year.
And just to kind of reference things happening at the city level right now, we are seeing infrastructure kind of under the microscope. Mayor Tom Henry proposed a neighborhood improvement plan that's sort of in limbo at city council right now until October 8th, so which is also when the city budget is going to be well analyzed at that point. So we're already starting to see those things kind of happen and take hold at the city level and go under the microscope.
Former city council member Don Schmidt used to refer to the months around election as the silly season. And basically what he meant was that politics comes into play a little bit more this time of year. And a lot of people are going to say that's what we saw right there. Obviously, both sides can make an argument. No, we held a press conference. You weren't invited to it. That's what the mayor can say. The council members can say you didn't come and talk to us because they weren't approached directly. So both can make the claim, and it's a legitimate claim they can make. This is the sort of thing that quite often in non-election years, there somebody would have squawked a little bit, but it would have just moved forward. We are, however, in September of an election year. And so, as Don Schmidt would have said, we're in the silly season.
So we're talking about the Fort Wayne mayor's race and city council. There are a number of contested races in city council as well. I want to go back to the conversation of early voting and just the way that that sort of changed the process. Has early voting given an advantage to certain candidates over others over time, or is it still too soon to make that kind of judgment?
That's a good question, because initially there was a thought that early voting was going to be something that either brought new people into the mix because it made voting more convenient. So somebody who was maybe not a good regular voter would have said, aha, I'm going to take advantage of this. And so maybe it would bring in more voters that way. Other people said, no, that's not going to happen because the person who is not a frequent voter will have excuses or reasons to not vote on those other days as well. I'm at work, I'm at school, I have family to take care of, I don't have transportation, et cetera, et cetera. The reality is that good campaigns know this is part of the equation now. And what was a problem for some initially has been turned into an advantage now because of early voting and the satellite early voting locations. Instead of having to worry about getting cars to pick up voters and take them to their precinct-based voting location on election day, now you can, you know, get a van and actually pick up 5, 6, 7, 8 voters, take them to one location, even if they're not all in the same precinct, and help them vote at the same time. You'll occasionally see groups organize minivans or small buses and transport people to an early voting location. That does a couple of things. Campaigns are able to then use that as a rally. So, you know, on Saturday, hey, we're going to vote early. Please come down. You give people yard signs. You give them literature to drop in neighborhoods. Oh, and by the way, we'll take you to vote as well. So you're building some camaraderie, which is good for campaigns. What we do know from the data so far is that the people who are using early voting have a tendency to be people who would have voted anyway. In other words, they're just taking advantage of the convenience of it.
Prior to pressing the record button, we had discussed outside of Fort Wayne that there are several municipalities in the area in Northeast Indiana that will have new mayors for the first time in a long time based on these elections that are coming up. Could you touch on those a little bit?
I think the three that a lot of people are going to focus on are Auburn, Bluffton, and New Haven, and those being obviously Mayor Yoder, Mayor Ellis, and Mayor McDonald over in New Haven. Those are folks who have been in office for a long time. Each one of them at some point has managed to go uncontested in an election. The voters clearly said, we like you. And I think that it's safe to say that when you look at the state of those cities, when you talk to people from those cities, they would say those are three individuals who served their cities well, and I think they're going to be sad to see them go. But every now and then, you know, it's time to turn the page. At some point, they were new mayors, and so they understand that. I do think, given their reputations, I think a lot of people are going to be very happy that they weren't voted out of office. In other words, they got to leave on their own timetable. But it will be interesting because we have contested races in all three of those cities, and they are not places where normally we would be talking about contested races. In fact, normally we would say, well, Mayor Yoder's probably going to win in Auburn. It's just the way we would have done these things. And so we'll see what happens. They are local elections. They are small enough communities that you can actually win without a lot of money, without a lot of advertising, so to speak. In fact, Terry McDonald over in New Haven would be one of the first people to say to you, yes, you can win by walking, because that's in large part what he did in 1999 and ran a very effective campaign that was a shoe leather campaign and deserved a lot of credit for that. So those are good things to watch. And I think that maybe the people who live in those communities are going to have a mildly unique opportunity to listen to what candidates have to say and engage with them in ways they haven't recently.
Andy, I have one final question for you. We're talking about all of the figures involved and kind of giving people just the general background of what they can expect over these next 2 months. Obviously, the person listening right now is probably the voter. So what should voters arm themselves with and prepare themselves for over these next maybe 1 month, maybe 2 months?
I think one of the first things that all voters should do is go to IndianaVoters.com to make sure that they are registered to vote. That's IndianaVoters.com. They, of course, can continue to register to vote at this time. So www.IndianaVoters.com. I've now probably said that enough times. So check that out. That also tells you where you're supposed to vote, and it gives you a look at your ballot initially. It's a short ballot because we're talking about municipal elections, but you can see the names of everyone who's running for office. And if you've done that now, you have the opportunity to begin, whether it's listening to WBOI or reading a newspaper, going to the website and social media sources for each of the candidates, you can begin to understand where the candidates stand on issues. And for the most part, keep in mind, these are individuals who, they live in your town, they want to talk to you. These are folks you may know, or you know somebody who knows. Voters, especially in municipal elections, should not be afraid of actually walking up to candidates and asking them questions. Obviously, be respectful of their time. If they're out for dinner with family, you know, don't intrude on that. But if they're walking the neighborhood, or if you see them out and about, if you run into them, clearly walk up to them, thank them for running for office, and then ask them where they stand on the issues that are most important to you.
Andy Downs with the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics. Thank you so much for joining WBOI Presents today.
It is always my pleasure. Thanks for having me.